Edmund Wilson was one of our century's great editors and social and literary critics. Wilson kept journals, which were published in collections, each titled by the decade they covered, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and now posthumously the 60s, with entries from 1960 to 1972, the year he died. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
During the last dozen years of his life, our preeminent man of letters wasn't reading any of the new writers, although he went to many movies, some of them pornographic. And while he clearly despised the war in Vietnam, the author of The American Earthquake and To the Finland Station has nothing to say to his diary about the civil rights and anti-war movements, or the assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, or Berkeley, Columbia, Watts, and Woodstock. What was he doing instead? Well, he was fighting off the IRS and worrying about his gout, his shingles, his dentures, and his heart, and lunging after any pretty woman in the vicinity, even his tutor in Hungarian, and even at the Princeton Club, and traveling to Montreal, to Budapest, to Jerusalem, and dreaming about bricks, salamanders, railroads, Robert Browning, incontinence, and abandonment. He also socialized a lot with the likes of W.H. Auden and Mike Nichols, Lillian Hellman and Andre Malraux, Robert Lowell and Geraldine Page, Svetlana Stalin and Cyril Connolly, Arthur Schlesinger Jr., and even Truman Capote, although Edmund Wilson declined an invitation to Capote's infamous masked ball. We learn here that Igor Stravinsky loathed Leonard Bernstein, that Isaiah Berlin has never read Dante or Finnegan's Wake, and that Robert Frost is the most boring writer in America. And Wilson was reading, instead of the new writers, many old ones, like Tolstoy and Balzac, George Eliot and Oscar Wilde, Diderot and Goethe. Learning that Goethe wrote most of the second part of Faust between the ages of 73 and 86, he tells us, cheers him up almost as much as rereading old reviews of his own books. But he doesn't like the second part of Faust any more than he cares for the last chapter of his own life, with its intimations of the flimsiness of human relations, the cobwebs of history and culture, the empty arena where one used to jostle and shout. He recalls what Edna St. Vincent Millay told him back in the 20s, when I had made love to her for the first time in my life to anyone. Edna said, I know how you feel. It was here, and it was beautiful, and now it's gone. And then he drinks another whiskey, and eats another Nembutal, and dies at age 77, having refused a pacemaker. But I've omitted something else Edmund Wilson did in those 12 years. He also published 12 astonishing books. Books of essays and plays and polemics, books on the Civil War and the Cold War and the American Indian, on Canadian literature, Russian literature, upstate New York, and the Dead Sea Scrolls. I find at the end of his journals that I haven't the heart to quibble with his treatment of Mary McCarthy, his defects as a father, his lapses of judgment on Kafka and Colette, his falling asleep in the middle of Pinter's Homecoming. Having discovered, for his generation and for mine, Karl Marx and literary modernism, Edmund Wilson, an atheist and a magician, published more of enduring value in his last decade than all the professors of deconstruction combined will publish in their lifetimes. The day after he died, I wrote the appreciation of him for the New York Times. I felt at the time like Dennis the Menace being asked to appreciate Dr. Johnson or Erasmus. He deserves instead the best, wherever he may be, rereading those old reviews.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The 60s by Edmund Wilson.